Hi, this is Kendra Adachi from the Lazy Genius podcast, and I am so excited that the new KFC chicken nuggets are here. You have never had nuggets like these before. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe, and absolutely delicious. They have become a go-to favorite the kids love to fight over, and I hope they make dinner easier and more fun for you too. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken Nuggets, now available at participating KFCs near you.
Complain, 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 complain. It feels better though. Welcome to Manic Rambling Spiral. I am Heather B. Armstrong.
And I am John R. Bray.
My apologies for I may have to get up and run and shush the children. All four of them are in the home. They are incapable of being quiet. And I'm going to turn my fucking do not disturb on because I am literally, it's killing me. My notifications are about to fucking kill me. I can't take it anymore.
I'm telling you, you got to just, I have all of them turned off except text.
I can't take it anymore. It's killing me. Like there's certain email that I have to be on top of. And I'm trying to figure out a way. I'm sure that there's a way you can filter it so that only those notifications come in. But I mean, this morning I woke up and there were like 25 emails, 14 text messages. And then when I got up and turned the phone on, ding, 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 ding. I was just like, I can't. I know it's not a terrible problem to have, but it really does cause me a lot of stress and anxiety because there's all.
But I don't think you're alone there. Like, yeah. I feel like, and I think it's been happening kind of slowly, but I think we've become more connected, and then that creates anxiety, and then. For whatever reason, I think the approach that companies and people take to kind of alleviate that is to become even more connected. I mean, smartphones made us more connected than ever, and now we have smart watches.
Yes.
You know, and so it's impossible to escape. But I think, I mean, especially, like, I understand. I mean, sometimes you're waiting for really critical things. But I think you can make, like, a VIP list for your emails. Mm-hmm. So that only certain ones will chime.
Okay.
But I don't know how that translates to the watch. That's the only thing that I can't remember.
But here's the problem is that I don't have time to sit down and do that.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally get it.
I just here waiting for you to get on the phone, I opened Twitter and saw this trailer for a movie. I think it's called Ready or Not. It's coming out this summer. Have you seen the trailer for it?
I have not, no.
I bring that up because it's sort of a kind of humorous thriller. And all these scenes in the trailer, boom, 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 leading up to like this like explosion, right? This cut, 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 right. Cut, explosion. And that's kind of what it feels like with the dinging and the notifications going off like boom, 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 head explodes.
Yeah. Well, and it also, for me too, it sometimes when I don't get any, then that kind of gives me like a separate kind of anxiety. Like maybe mm-hmm. something has happened and they're not coming through, which is weird, but it's like there's no escaping it. It's strange.
It is strange. We've become accustomed to it. On top of that, I think we got home from Chicago. We had to get up at 4 o'clock to make our flight and we got home at like 10:30 and we immediately, all of the kids are here. It's Marlo's birthday. We're sort of barraged by, you know, all of it. Right. And right. then, we had Marlo's birthday party all day Saturday and there were another 5 kids in the house and then the kids are all in the house on Sunday. Like it's kid, 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 kid. When you're not used to hearing that many children's voices all the time, day after day after day. This is, we're going on, so Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Today's Tuesday, right?
Yes.
I think today's Tuesday. We're going on 5 days of just like constant kids screaming. Like children just don't, these children don't have a low volume setting. So
I've always said that I hate disorganized sound. And that's exactly what that is.
Yeah.
I can deal with loud music. I can deal with a lot. I mean, I can even tolerate like loud lawnmowers for a certain amount of time, but it's the disorganized, like unpredictable sound that I can't do.
Yeah. Like in Paris, the sound of the motorcycles, the moto, les motos, they're loud and it's constant and it reverberates across the buildings, but I became immediately soothed by it. There's something because of the similarity of the sound of each motorcycle, there's something about it's very soothing. And there's no children there.
Well, that's also true. And you said it's constant, so it's kind of, it kind of becomes a regular sound.
Yeah. So like, my purpose for that was if I have to get up and go tell someone to stop riling up Coco, then I may have to go do that.
Forgivable.
My apologies, Ryan, which brings us to our next point. Someone sent a very, very, very stern email about my comment last week about an African-American being named Ryan. And while I did not intend for it to be racist, it was. It shows my internalized bias. I associate Ryan with very specific white men in my life, very specific white men, not just a generalized white name, like these very distinct white men who have played roles in my life, including Ryan, the tech guy for our podcast. My apologies. I was wrong, and I'm learning from this experience. The email could have been worded a little more. Not saying that you have to be nice when you are accusing or criticizing someone, but it was.
Very pointed.
It was very pointed, yeah. And I was very, very tired. I'm very, very tired still when I read it. And so it just sort of hit me in the face. And I should apologize for it. So.
And I think we also, from that same episode, need to clarify what we were getting at with homelessness and homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
Because the purpose of that conversation and what we were trying to communicate is that, you know, kind of from our perspective, one of the major root causes of homelessness and I think an issue that is furthered by homelessness are mental health issues. And you had made a comment about a large public library in Salt Lake City becoming kind of a hub for some of the Salt Lake homeless population because it's climate controlled. It's a place where they can be during the day, etc. And because that is sort of what that building has become, you are maybe more on guard or more aware when you bring your kids there.
Yes.
And the reason we kind of discuss that is not because homeless people are bad or need to be avoided or lesser or anything, but kind of what we were trying to say is that without the mental health care that they need, there's a certain amount of unpredictability potentially. And I mean, you can argue that that exists just in the general population, which is true. But I think, and maybe we're wrong. I mean, that is possible, but I think there's just an added level of that because a lot of people who find themselves homeless don't have access to the care that they need to be well.
Right. And a lot of the homeless, not all, but many of them at the library are on, they're either drunk or they're high or they are, you know, you get this sort of spider sense that they may unpredictably tackle you. And, you know, they are, some of them, are very, aggressive. That's why I talked about it. I mean, I think, and I told you, like, we read the room. You can tell when someone is just asking for change versus somebody you think is going to get in your face and possibly hurt you. And that was, you know, that was the reason that we talked about. I mean, even Cowboy, whose company gives quite a bit of money to the library, has said that it's hard for him now to go because you're constantly on guard. Not because all homeless people are mentally deranged. There's a certain portion that actually specifically go to the library, and those are the ones we're trying to read the room. We're trying to keep our kids safe. You know, we're trying to be lovely to those who do not have the privilege that we do, while also maintaining our safety.
So two apologies. I mean, and I guess it's also worth saying, like, we always welcome that dissenting view too. I mean, mm-hmm. it's wonderful when it's kindly delivered, but even not, if, you know, you think we're totally off, then you guys know how to reach us, so.
And we're also now talking about topics.
We are.
Someone left a message and said, I don't like it when you talk about topics. Okay, so we'll just ramble.
Well, and I feel like we touched on this a few weeks ago, but when we first started MRS, I mean, and we were pretty transparent about this, we didn't really have scripts, but we had outlines mm-hmm. to make sure that we covered certain things. And I think both of us just realized naturally that that doesn't work. I think it doesn't work for us, and it just didn't feel right for the podcast.
You and I just would go off script all the time.
Exactly. And I think there is a way for us to have actual topics without it feeling like this really regimented boom, boom, boom style of episode.
Right.
You know, I mean, we're going to go on tangents. That's what we do here.
That's what we do here.
That is on brand for us. So there will always be those. But sometimes we just may focus on, you know, something more specifically.
Yeah. And today, oh my God, this week, oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, but before we get into this week, though, we had a meetup last week.
We did have the meetup, yeah. It was a lovely, lovely group of people. I thought we had some great food and some great conversation, and then we ended up back at our hotel having drinks, and yeah, I loved that time. I loved it. It was very I needed that at that point in the week. Yeah. I really needed that. So thank you to everyone who came out. It was so lovely.
It really was. It was great to meet everyone and have a chance to sit and talk without it really, it didn't feel rushed. We just, like you said, had food and drinks and had time to get to know each other. That was great.
Yeah.
So thank you, everyone.
I made everyone bear their testimony.
You did. Right after saying that you don't like games.
I know. It was just, you know, it's sort of an icebreaker to say. We had everybody say what was important to them. And I think I think mine was parents are here to fuck up their children.
That's right. No, it wasn't what's important. It was what you believe to be true.
What you believe to be true.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yeah. That's definitely true.
Yeah. But it was downtown Chicago goes really quiet after work.
And I mean, anyone who's familiar with Chicago, she's talking about the Loop specifically. And the Loop is kind of the financial district of Chicago. So after like like 5-6 o'clock, it's pretty damn quiet. And it's like that on the weekend too.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. I mean, it's not, I guess it's not as bad because there are parts of what would be considered the loop that are very active. But I mean, you saw it as soon as we crossed over into the West Loop to the hotel, it was a totally different world.
Yeah, it was booming. Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, it was quiet. I think we ended up at a restaurant that closed at like 8 or 9.
Like 8 o'clock.
9, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. So
but we made do.
We made do. We stayed up. I got about 3 hours of sleep that night to get up and get ready to go.
That's right. You had to leave the hotel at like 4, right?
Yeah, so I have to rant about this really quickly, and I'm going to make it short. United Airlines sucks. Sucks.
I spent years flying them, yeah.
I mean, it's like they don't care anymore. They don't care. Like, they gave up. I fly Delta because, you know, Salt Lake is the Western hub for Delta, and Delta goes, you know, there's so many direct flights from Delta to go places. And the Kennedy Forum that I spoke at on Tuesday paid for the travel, so they booked me on United, and they didn't have a snack. Yeah, it was. And then on the flight home, I was 3 rows from the back, sitting in a middle seat, and the armrests were only like 6 inches in length. And so, and I was, I'm obviously tired and I'm going to fall asleep. So I would put my arm or my elbow on the armrest and stick my hand, you know, my fist up next to my head and rest my head on my fist or my hand. And I just kept falling off onto the person next to me, just kept falling off. And yeah, there were no TVs. There was no Wi-Fi. Yeah. So I don't want to fly it ever again. Ever. If you can tell how tired I am right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's only Tuesday.
It's only Tuesday. And I am going to be in San Francisco this weekend on Sunday at the Assembly in the Mission at 3 o'clock. You have to pay $10 to get in, only to cover the venue. But it's going to be kind of an intimate reading and signing and event with drinks and whatnot. And then the day that I get back is the day that we have to pack up the girls. And the girls leave the next day for New York.
And that's 6 weeks?
They'll be gone about 7 weeks total.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That is some time.
It is some time.
Which is simultaneously amazing and also not.
So I leave, and I did this on purpose, and I'm not regretting it. I'm only just because everything sort of piled up here at the end, and, you know, making sure that everybody's prescriptions are filled and that I can get those prescriptions, because sometimes insurance won't cover a certain amount, and Lita, they both have to have like a whole bunch of, there's a list of things that they have to take with them to camp. There's a lot of banking. There's a lot of bill paying. There's a lot of sponsored content that I have to get done. That sort of stuff, you know, that sort of builds up. And I'm sort of lost inside of it right now. I have no idea what I need to do next. Because I leave for Paris a week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow. So San Francisco, get home, pack up, girls leave, then you leave.
Yeah.
And you're gone almost the whole time they're gone?
I will be gone from the 26th of June through the 8th of August.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And we are planning to possibly try to record.
Yeah, I'm packing the equipment.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone can enjoy the motorcycles.
Yeah, I know. I have no idea how I'm going to do it quietly there. Even when you shut the windows, it's a constant sound. And it begins at like 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
So.
It's ambiance. It'll work.
Ambiance. Yeah. So that's my next week, is getting all that done.
Yeah, it's a lot to do in a week.
And you know, I, because of my book tour, I missed a dental appointment that I was supposed to make up, and I was supposed to get a mammogram.
At the dentist?
Yeah, at the dentist.
Very nice. Like a two-in-one deal?
A two-in-one deal, yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
So that didn't get done. I am really, 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 really sick. just in ways that I can't even describe, and I can't get to the doctor. So we'll just see how it goes in Paris.
I do hear that they have very nice hospitals there.
Right. Yeah.
Somebody, this was like years ago, but I follow Jason Hudson on Instagram, and I think you do as well.
Yes.
And
he's been in my home. Yes.
Yes. That's right. For Thanksgiving at one point. And he was traveling like 4 years ago or something with his partner at the time, traveling the world, and had a major health issue in France. And I'm saying this because it was on social media. This isn't anything that was hidden. But the one thing that I remember is he posted a photo of, I think it was like a hallway in the hospital that was all like marble stone and a menu where he could order a cappuccino, a latte, a doppio. He's like, this is the greatest hospital I have ever been in my life. And he was, I think he was in the hospital for several days, but it was like, if you saw the photo, it looked like a hotel.
Yeah.
So I say maybe just hold out until then. I mean, I know Utah has some good hospitals, but.
Well, I mean, I got, I had a procedure done and got the bill for it. And it was a procedure that took less than 5 minutes, and it cost me over $500. Yeah. And I need to have it done like four or five more times. And I just decided that I can't do it. And Cowboy was like, maybe we go to France and we get it done in there.
Well, that's a question. And you reminded me, we've also had a couple of people ask about how my whole wisdom teeth thing actually played out. So I want to touch on that. But how does that work when you're like, if you're in France and you have a medical need, is it free? I'm sure this is an ignorant question, but I've always wondered that.
I'm not exactly sure. He was saying that they probably don't even care that you're not a French national. They'll take care of you if you have a need. And it's probably just a fraction of what we pay here.
That's what I was wondering. Because I've heard of some people, I mean, in this case, they were, you know, residents of the country, but going to an urgent care and not even showing ID.
Yeah.
Just getting the care that they need. So, I mean, clearly you're American, but I don't know. I've always kind of wondered that. So maybe if anyone needs their wisdom teeth, I would just fly somewhere else. It's cheaper than wisdom teeth.
And by the way, you handled it pretty well, didn't you?
You know, I think I did. The best way that I've come up with to describe it, because it's such a weird thing, like my mouth has been the same for 35 years, and then suddenly it's not. So
it's not the same.
Not at all. And I'm like a week and a half, almost 2 weeks out. Stitches are gone. Everything went as fine as it could go, but it still feels weird. My teeth still feel sore because now that those wisdom teeth are gone, things start to shift, which I knew was going to happen, but
things start to shift. Are your teeth shifting?
That's what my dentist said. She said, when the wisdom teeth go, because they're taking space, then your teeth will shift a bit, which is weird to think about. So I don't really know exactly what that means. I'm hoping they just kind of stay mostly where they are. But the procedure itself, I remember getting there and seeing a tray covered in tools that look like something you'd find in your garage. And I posted this to my Instagram stories, and the number of comments of people responding that were basically, what the fuck? They should cover that. Because it was like chisels and pliers and a small hammer and just weird shit that I don't want to think about being in my mouth. But I remember laying there and they kind of very casually like strap your arms down so you don't move. And then,
oh my God.
Oh yeah. So you get an IV.
Oh my God.
And the dentist said, the surgeon, he's like, you know, in a little bit, you're going to start to feel tired. How do you feel? And I said, I'm wide awake. I feel fine. And then I looked at the nurse and she's like, well, you're done. And that's all I remember. And that was amazing.
And then the pain, how was the pain?
The pain was, so I think I mentioned that I got that Exparel, that mm-hmm. non-opioid injection, which if anyone out there has to have this done and has that as an option, absolutely do it, because the only thing I needed to take was over-the-counter ibuprofen.
Wow.
So the pain was there, but ibuprofen kept it in check. And through the entire time they gave me, I mean, all they really gave me honestly was Tylenol 3, which Tylenol never really works for me anyway. So pain wise, it was fine, but it's just, it's weird having stitches in your mouth. It's weird having to chew. I think the biggest thing for anyone who hasn't had this done is just the soreness.
Right.
In your jaw from having your mouth like pried open far wider than you even want it for an hour.
I'm sure they put a dam in, right? That like a thing that kept it open for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's just, so then you feel like you can't open your mouth very much. I mean, I made myself like a smoothie bowl for dinner so I didn't have to bite anything. And I used a tasting spoon that they give you like to sample ice cream if you go up for ice cream, because I couldn't open my mouth very wide. So if you're not familiar, the end of the spoon is like smaller than a dime. So that was my first meal.
Oh my God.
And I don't remember if I mentioned this, but I had a smoothie. A smoothie was my first meal, and then a smoothie bowl because I was really working my way up. And I had to take a drink, and then before I moved the cup, I had to use my other hand to hold my lower lip up because it was still numb, and it would feel like it was closed when it wasn't. So, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, overall, like, it went, and when I went back in to get my stitches out, I was fully expecting the oral surgeon to say, well, this thing doesn't look right, or there's an infection, or some... He looked, he's like, everything looks perfect, made 4 snips with the stitches, pulled them out, and I was gone in like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So it was fine. It's also, in theory, because he's in network and they were impacted, so it's covered by medical, fingers crossed, I shouldn't have to pay anything. That's what they told me. However, it is $780 a tooth.
What?
And $810 for the anesthesia. Now, I would pay double that for the anesthesia because that was worth it. But yeah, I mean, it's like almost $4,000, like $3,700 or $3,800.
Yeah.
For an hour.
That's like a colonoscopy. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And I don't say for an hour as in to minimize what they're doing. Like, I'm glad he's good at what he does. I very much appreciate it. It's just... wow. I don't know. I'm just hopeful that, because, you know, often they're like, yeah, insurance should cover it all. And then you get a bill and it's like, well, except for this 75% that you owe. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, well, hell. So we'll see. If that's what happens, we'll have a very different discussion about wisdom teeth. But, you know, for now it's okay. Although I'm still sore, even now I can still feel it kind of like back by my molars. It's just sore.
Mm-hmm. It'll probably take a while for you to get used to the new configuration of your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you know, and they don't tell you, well, they did tell me on, I don't know if you got paperwork beforehand that you had to fill out. I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
But they specifically say in bold letters, there will be a separate bill for the hospital. There will be a separate bill for the anesthesia, separate bill for the doctor, separate bill for the procedure, separate bill for the nurses. I was like, oh my God, 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 oh my God.
Yeah. Okay. In this case, it was on, it's one bill, but I remember that from when I was in the hospital in 2017. And it was like, certain things make sense, like the ambulance being separate from other things. But there was like, the ambulance bill, the ER bill, the hospital bill, the EKG bill. Like, there was just all these things that you feel like could all be in one just for sanity, but no.
No.
And I feel like they do that. I honestly feel like they do that because then it just makes it more complicated for you to figure out.
Yeah.
Like, if there's an issue and you have 14 bills to look through, it's a lot harder to find out where that issue is than if there's one bill with 14 lines.
The way mine works, I don't know if yours works this way, and they send, the insurance actually sends you what happened. And it says what it allows and what it paid for, and then at the end it'll say, this is what you're going to owe. This isn't the bill, but this is what you're going to owe because all A, B, C, and D happened.
Right.
And then the bills come in the mail.
But even that almost never makes sense.
We're complaining about getting medical care.
We talk about medical care so much, but I distinctly remember getting, actually, this is the case. This is the case with regular dental visits. It's like $150. And then I get it back from my insurance and they're like, we paid $21.19. I'm like, okay, you know what? What? Then what is the point? Like, that's probably about what I pay for the insurance itself. So I just don't understand. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Very thankful to have any insurance at all. And I'm hopeful that it will not cost. But the whole point is, it's ridiculous. And I also know that when that all processes, if my insurance does pay for it, I guarantee they're not paying the $3,800. They're paying less because insurance pays less, which is in itself a fucked up thing.
Hey, babe, what you got there?
This is a check from Carvana. I just sold my car to them. I went online and Carvana gave me an offer right away. Then they just picked up the car and gave me this.
Well, that's a big check. Well, obviously you could put this towards your next car, or we could finally get that jacuzzi, or I could start taking tuba lessons, or I could quit my job and write my memoir.
Or I can put it towards my next car with Carvana.
Sorry, your check, not mine.
Sell your car to Carvana. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get a real offer in seconds.
Hi there, this is Kendra Adachi, and I host the Lazy Genius podcast. And I need to make sure that you have heard about the new KFC chicken nuggets. You have never had nuggets like these before, 100% white meat and hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. KFC has been a family favorite for years, and now we can get all of the delicious KFC flavor we love in one amazing chicken nugget. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken Nuggets, now available at participating KFCs near you.
I feel like the insurance should pay the full amount. And if you don't have insurance, you should pay that decreased amount.
Right.
I don't know.
This
could just be a healthcare podcast. Well, there'd be plenty to cover.
I mean, it could be, just because as I'm getting older, you know, things really do start to fall apart.
I still have my youth, so.
I mean, I'm riddled with tiny little basal cell carcinomas, right? And getting one of them removed is so much money. It's so much money. The last one that I had done was so mad because they sent the pathology department that they sent it to see if it was benign or whatever was not covered by my insurance. Why they couldn't send it to a pathology department that was covered by my insurance, I don't know. But just the pathology, just them like determining whether or not it was benign or whatnot, was like $700. And I was like, you guys, how does anybody expect to take care of themselves when this is happening? And my deductible on top of that, like, and then the premium, this is like all I think about. I know it doesn't seem that way, but I mean, this is all I think about. I think about this all the time because I am very, very scared that I will not be able to afford healthcare next year. And I'm not sure what to do. Because if it doubles, even if it goes up by like 25%, I don't know what I'm going to do. So,
yeah.
Whatever. complain. It feels better though. feel better afterward.
Well, I mean, it's we've been doing this for 3.5 years, and we've talked about healthcare how many times?
I know. Yeah.
It's because it doesn't get better.
We've had, a colonoscopy and having your wisdom teeth out are not minor, procedures. I mean, they're routine, yes, but you have to go under and these are procedures that you've gone through as adults. And, I got to get that mammogram at some point. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do.
You just have to fit all that in a week, though. It's not a big deal.
Yeah. And so, and by the way, I took Alita back to the doctor and she had more blood work done and she had her thyroid checked. And yeah, so that doctor visit was a thing. And then the blood work was a thing. That was the second round of blood work that we had done. And because Alita was exhausted and she didn't understand why she was so exhausted. And she's on a multivitamin and she's on vitamin D, and we have like injected a huge amount of protein into her diet. And 2 days before school got out, she woke up and she's like, I don't have to do anything today at school. Nothing. All we're going to do is sit around and sign yearbooks. And you know what? I don't feel tired today. I was like, do what?
Suddenly it's better.
Suddenly it's better, yeah. And the other morning she got up, I said, how do you feel? And she's like, well, I woke up and I was tired. And I was like, Alita, that is the state of being a human. I'm sorry to inform you that. When you wake up in the morning before you want to wake up, you're going to be a little tired. Sorry.
And that never changes. Mm-mm.
Although you are a morning person.
I mean, yeah, but even if I get up an hour before I normally get up, I'm tired. Yeah. You fall into your routine and that's just how it goes.
Yeah, I think and part of what is going on like with me right now, after the marathon was over in 2016, I went to get my thyroid checked because my fatigue level was making life almost crippling me. And I thought maybe it was like renal fatigue, which is like, adrenal fatigue. Is that what it's called?
That I honestly don't know.
Yeah, you're basically you basically depleted your ability to cope with exhaustion, and maybe it's just the pace of the last month and a half. But I woke up yesterday and wow, like something is wrong. Something is really wrong. Maybe I'm just tired. Maybe that's just it.
I mean, it could be. It could be a, at least in part, sort of a come down from the last 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Because it's been a lot physically. It's been a kind of an exhausting schedule. But I think just the nature of having to stay so focused on the book and what that means to you and then the stories that triggers in other people.
Yeah, and we were first in New York, so that was one hotel, and then we were in another hotel, so there was 4 hotels last week. I, again, would wake up and not know where I was. Several times I did think I was in Wisconsin for some reason, but maybe my body is just like, stop, so...
Very northern Illinois and southern Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of the same place. Yeah. I'm sure there's people in Wisconsin that hate that, but I mean, just geographically, it's super similar.
geographically and also like the spacing of the buildings and the strip malls and the fields and this flat land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were so Wisconsin. Far out of Chicago, you might as well have been in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I was one of the nights I had to stay 25 miles outside of Chicago. Who's that's how tired I am. Oh, man. Yeah. Okay. We're good. So we're staying off topics.
Way off.
Way off topics. No more topics. Well, we did discuss healthcare. Sorry.
We did. And my wisdom teeth.
And your wisdom teeth. And my colonoscopy. Oh,
yes. Sorry. And this is not related to anything at all. But I think that everyone would be delighted to know that Lily does now have an Instagram account.
Lily has an Instagram account?
She does.
What the fuck?
I know. And so,
what is the handle?
Well, I needed to create one because I have, this is ridiculous. I have other photos I'd like to post to Instagram. And every time I post something that is not her, there are comments that are like, okay, this is nice, but where is the dog?
Yep.
So I just thought I would create one and then I can point people in that direction. So she is a Chug, as you know, a Chihuahua pug. So it is Lily Chug Life. That's her
Chug
handle.
Life.
Chug Life. Lily Chug Life.
Oh, Lily Chug Life?
Lily Chug Life. And it's Lily with two L's, so Lily Chug Life. I can't promise it's going to be like regularly updated, but I needed a place to put these dog photos so people can get their fill of Lily because she is pretty awesome.
She is pretty awesome. It was really sad that you couldn't bring her to the meetup, but
I know.
It would have been... there's no possible way I would ever take Coco anywhere.
No, the idea of it is amazing. And I'll go places and see this beautiful dog laying under the picnic table as people enjoy food and a drink. That would not happen. Like, I would be trying to hold her as she's wiggling everywhere and it doesn't work out. And I don't know that it ever will. Maybe she'll be calm enough at some point, but not now. No.
I once took Coco when Marla was having a very hard time with separation anxiety at the drop-off at school. We dropped him off on a playground right outside of the school. I suggested that we take Coco to ease the transition. And it was the worst idea ever. Coco went completely bonkers with all the kids. And just was screaming her head off. And it was a sight. It was a sight. Then I was like, okay, we're never taking you anywhere ever again.
Because then you scream your head off in an effort to quiet the dog. And I don't know if that just fuels it or if it just makes you look like an idiot.
Well, and it triggers other kids who are like afraid of dogs, right? And so they're screaming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least like right now, because anytime that she meets someone, she goes just batshit wild. But I can still say, I'm like, well, she's a puppy. So that is why she's crazy. But even still, I feel like I she's just so nuts that it's embarrassing. I'm sorry that I can't get her to not like bite your shoelaces and your hands and jump and run in circles and...
I am not going to give you any advice about any of that. No advice. None. Zero.
I do have two places for training, so.
Okay.
I finally called.
I shared the email with you. I have a contract to do some work for a company and they want me to do some Instagram stories. I mean, sponsored content for my audience has always been very hard because they've known me to write about my kids and my dog without the sponsored stuff thrown in, right?
Right.
And then we all had to make the transition into sponsored content because that was the only way to make money doing blogging. So I have to be very careful with sponsored content because my audience only tolerates a very small amount. And, you know, there are so many people that I know online who, like, every single post is sponsored. And their audience is fine with it. Mine is just like, where's your dog? Where are
but
your kids?
But are the people who are in that position, were they around? Because I think part of the issue with, not that the issue with you, but what happens is sponsored content was not a thing for like
right.
the first at least 10 years that you were blogging.
Right.
And then it became a thing. So it almost feels intrusive or can feel unnatural because you existed for so long in a world where that was not a thing.
Exactly. And people knew me as that. Whereas a lot of these accounts started when sponsored content was already ingrained into audiences' heads.
Right.
They came to expect it. And some of these accounts are I wouldn't call them sanitized, but they're DIY projects or design sites or things that aren't personalized. And so in order to like inject something into these stories, like I was trying to make it humorous. Marlo appeared in a couple of them, you know, Coco was there, and they did not want that. And I had to explain to them that if they want this to be successful, like people want to see my kids, people want to see my dog, people want to know like the, you know, the personal nature of things. And so, like you said, like, where's your dog?
Right.
Like,
well, if people just see your stories and it's like six frames of a product,
mm-hmm.
it's that might work really well for some people, but that's really weird for you. And then I feel like it, to a lot of your readers, it comes across as, I don't want to say insincere, uh-huh. but it seems like it would be less successful in the long run.
It doesn't feel organic. It feels manufactured. And this is a company that I really like. Like I use their stuff. Like it's actually inherent in my life, which is why I agreed to do it, is because this is stuff that I use every day. But again, like I remember I used to try, some people liked the fact that I would talk about music. And would go, oh, I love it when you write about it because I find new music. But then, like, there was a big, big chorus of people going, I know that you like music, but where's Marlo?
Right.
Where's Lita? Where's Coco? Where's Chuck? Where's Chuck?
Well, I think that's what's hard. For any brand, even like there are going to be people that only follow you because they really like the stories about Marlo.
Yeah.
And it's not that they dislike you or the rest of your life. They're just not as interested in it. So if you don't post about her, they're not really engaged. And at the same time, there's other people that just really want to hear about Coco.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they don't really care about the kids so much. So it's hard to, no matter what you do, there's going to be something lost. But I feel like for sponsored content to work, to really be truly effective, it has to feel like that organic fit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm totally spitballing here, but.
Well, no, and people hate it when I call it this, even though this is the language now. I mean, I am pretty much the expert on my personal brand, right?
Right.
I know what my audience wants to experience and see, and I know what I want to talk about and to give them. And so when brands get involved, there's a learning curve, I think, with a lot of them in terms of certain things work for certain audiences. As long as I'm, you know, not obscene and I'm following the FTC guidelines and I'm, you know, making sure I hit every talking point, I hope that I'm doing, you know, the best that I can by inserting my child and inserting my child.
That's what you do, right? You're exploiting your kids online.
Well, she actually, I was doing it and she walked over with a bowl of Fruit Loops and this was completely accidental. She walked over with a bowl of Fruit Loops and was like, with her mouth full of Fruit Loops, what are you doing? And I was like, that's perfect. I mean, that's what my life is, right? So
That's pretty awesome.
Where's Lily? Where's Lily? I'm going to say that to you now all the time. Where's Lily?
Yeah. Which I get. I mean, you know, she is great. And now she has her own place. Yeah. Which I really just means now I have another account to update. So Who knows, honestly, how that's going to go.
You know, sadly, this is a sad story. I'll tell her. Really, I started an Instagram called Stuff on Chuck.
And oh, you did?
I did. Huh. And I asked for readers or audience submissions and people sent in things. And then within 6 months, he was gone. And it was not an Instagram account that I wanted to maintain after that.
Well, yeah, without Chuck, I mean.
Yeah.
No, I just pulled it up.
Yeah.
That's a cute
account. I mean,
account.
He was such
a good dog.
I have 13 years of him balancing stuff on his body and head. I mean, I have plenty of content to put there, but it was really hard for me to even look at the photos for a while. So.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So, yeah, we rambled quite a bit on this episode.
We did.
And circled right back into healthcare.
We should just have like a regular sidebar on that, honestly.
Oh, and so there was that scare with Coco. Did we talk about that?
No, I don't think we ever wrapped it up on here.
I don't know if we... Well, she like... yeah, she woke up and didn't eat, and then she was doing this weird dance across the room. So we took her to the vet. And they, you know, they felt her, you know, hindquarters and made sure that she was okay. And then she did some blood work and, the blood work came back fine. And that whole vet visit, you don't even want to know how much it cost. Fuck. Dogs are important, which is why, you know, I'm very careful with my money. So anyway.
But you know, the vet, yeah, that stuff is expensive. I've had, Lily just had her last puppy vet visit. And each one has been like $125 or something.
Yeah.
Which they're really good to her and she gets her shots and it's awesome. But it's, I wasn't aware that it was that much. I also wasn't aware that the major pharmaceutical companies for people are also the companies making pharmaceuticals for dogs.
Mm-hmm.
That is.
Yeah, she's on a dog ibuprofen now. So.
And it's helping?
Yeah, it's helping. She hasn't had another episode like that again, so she seems to be in better spirits. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
She's got a family to guard.
Yeah. She's not allowed to do anything while I'm out of the country. I've told her that.
You've had that heart-to-heart.
I've had that discussion with her, yes. I was very stern about it.
And who is going to be watching her?
So, Cowboy's son's birthday is the 4th of July. And so he's staying here through then. He comes out for a week and then he comes back for a week and then comes back out for the rest. So here and there, his niece... has a dog that Coco gets along with and she comes and stays.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
She'll have a buddy.
Yeah.
Very nice.
And the dog looks a lot like Chuck. I should post a photo of it. Yeah.
It's also a mutt?
No, it's a Vizsla.
Oh, this, okay. Yeah. This is the dog you're talking about.
A Vizsla, yeah.
So. Well, that's fun then.
So I have to go get a whole bunch of stuff done for my daughter for her to get ready for camp. That's my morning.
Do it. Godspeed.
And I know I'm remembering that when I got the mail on Saturday that there were 3 medical bills in there, and I think I know where the mail is. I think I know where it is. I gotta go find that. Yeah. So,
well, if anyone has anything to add to the conversation or would like to share their opinion or even let us know if they disagree with something, that's always welcome. You can email us to stories@manicramblings.com, or you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Manic Ramblings. And Patreon, patreon.com/manicramblings. Thank you to the new patrons over the last week or so. It means a lot. You help keep this show alive. We appreciate it.
Yes. And a shout out to Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
All the Ryans.
All Ryans, but to this very specific Ryan in my life. Until next week. I know that you want to post that really pretty picture that you took with that flower, but where's your fucking dog?
Many thanks to Tan Lines for the soundtrack, to Lisa Congdon for the cover art, and to Ryan Coomer for his expertise with the editing stuff.
Hey guys, it's Kayla Ewell from Directionally Challenged, a podcast about realigning your internal compass. New KFC chicken nuggets are finally here, and you have never had nuggets like these. All of the delicious KFC flavor you love in one amazing chicken nugget. 100% white meat, hand-breaded in KFC's original recipe. Order new Kentucky Fried Chicken nuggets, now available at participating KFC near you. Guys, they're finger-licking good.